In Lamentations chapter 3. So we find Lamentations right after Jeremiah. Lamentations written by Jeremiah. All right, so we got a handout on this, and we're going to look at the largest chapter. And so here we go. So you can be turning your Bible to Lamentations chapter 3. And we'll look at the first 18 verses. So the chapter has 66 verses. Hebrew alphabet has 22 letters. So we have every three verses starts with the next succeeding Hebrew letter of the 22 consonant alphabet. So that we have 3 times 22, 66. All right, so here is the ingenious writing of the Lord through Jeremiah of a acrostic type of construction that we have here. And, of course, this is all for emphasis, and the emphasis of really any literary style that we have in Scripture is to get the attention. So the Lord has numerous ways to get people's attention into the Word of God. Sometimes he uses emphases to get across the point. So rather than have an exclamation point there, he uses emphases. He uses questions. He uses poetry. He uses chiastic structure. He uses repetition. He uses contrast, all types of structures. And reading the Scripture, and it's right there if you look for it. It's right there if you look for it. And so here we have in this section. So at this point, this is center of the book, chapter 3, and in this section of the book, we have the desperation of the prophet Jeremiah. So Jeremiah lived before the fall of 586 when the southern kingdom fell. He lived during the fall, and he lived after the fall. So he lived through this whole time, and he had a burden for his people. He represented the Lord Jesus Christ, who had a burden for the Jewish people, and so did Jeremiah. And so he was a weeping prophet, just like the Lord wept. He wept with Lazarus. Jesus wept. Remember that passage? And numerous other places in Scripture. And so we see parallels. So Jeremiah went through some very difficult times. And as we see here, beginning in verse 1, it says, I am the man. So this is very specific here. He's the man. Now, he obviously would represent the city of Jerusalem. He also would be prefiguring the Lord, but clearly he's referring to himself in this situation and the difficulties that he went through. So I've outlined this section, which is challenging because of the threefold inserts on each of the Hebrew letters here and trying to work through all this. So first of all, the desperation of the prophet under the heading of the heartache of the prophet in verses 1 through 9, and then the humility of the prophet in verses 10 through 18. Now, I put here at the bottom of the page, but we'll look at this later on, there's the hope of the prophet. So we do find in the later section on all this that he says, for instance, in verse 22, is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because compassions fail not. So there's certainly a statement of hope. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. So here is his hope in the midst of all these difficulties and troubles that he went through. So he's focused here, first of all, on his heartache over what has happened to him and the people. Then his humility, which the heartache and the destruction has brought him to, a place of humility, complete trust on the Lord. And then this genders in his mind the hope of the prophet. So we see the flow of this, and we'll see more of the outline later on. Now, as I've mentioned here before, what we find in many of the characters of the in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, the Lord has to deal with these individuals who are going to be mightily used in a very severe way. In other words, he takes them through great difficulties, so they're completely dependent on him, so that he gets the glory in all these situations and not others. And so we have this with Abraham. We have this with Joseph. Joseph rises to second in command, coming out of prison, and so on. And we look at other individuals as well. And we come down here to Jeremiah. And so Jeremiah had to go through extreme difficulties. And then we've also looked at Job. We've looked at other individuals. So what the Lord does, he takes those he wants to use through difficult times, so they'll look to him, be completely dependent upon him. And furthermore, he wants to take those that he's going to use in a very significant way. He needs to strip them of all reliance and strip them of everything they may be hiding behind, so that they're completely dependent upon him. And so this is Jeremiah. His only reliance here is upon the Lord. We saw that with Job as well. And so, now, especially with the chosen people of Israel, the Lord wanted the chosen people of Israel to be a nation of priests. Remember that? And yet they failed, so finally he had to use one tribe to be the priest. Couldn't use the whole nation as a priest, so he had to use one tribe as a priest. And the chosen people in the chosen land with the chosen city, and all the blessings that they had, they turned away from him, so he stripped everything away from them in all of this. Now, I mentioned there was Adam and Eve in the garden, so the Lord had to take away what they were hiding behind a tree with fig leaves, and so the Lord took care of all that, and the Jews, and so on. Now let's notice in the New Testament book of Revelation, for instance, and what's going to happen in the future to the unbeliever. So think of this scenario in Revelation chapter 20 when he takes away everything from the unbeliever at the great white throne judgment. So notice here in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." So they're not standing on earth. They're not standing in heaven. Where are they standing? I guess I might say outer space before the Lord. No floor underneath them. No roof over them. No heaven, no earth, it's all fled away. They're just standing before God. Think of that. So nothing to hide behind. Nothing behind, hide behind. And no place is found for them. And so he judges them. And so it's the way he deals. Now, in the section here, we'll go three verses at a time. So in verse chapter 3, verses 1, 2, and 3. This is all the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. The words that start with the first letter would be, the first letter being the Aleph. And so here we have in verse 1, the pronoun I starts with the Aleph. Ani is the word. Then in verse 2, he hath led me. The unusual thing in this case is the word me is attached to the direct object marker. And so, in other words, we have direct objects. So he led who? He led what? He led me. So actually just have a marker that's normally not even translated, but attached to the direct object marker is the pronoun me. And so he hath led me. And that marker is the F, and so it starts with Aleph. And then in verse 3, surely. So we saw surely in several psalms here, but this is the word for ach, word ach. So all three of these words, I, me, and surely, all start off the verse, and all start with the Aleph letters. So now you wouldn't know this without looking behind the English here, and the English done certainly a reasonable job on something like this. It'd be very difficult to try to translate it otherwise. However, this is what the Lord is in His beautiful hymn or psalm or lamentation, what He's done here on purpose using Jeremiah to write this. No. So we see this gets personal in verse 3. So I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. So here is Jeremiah. He's the preacher. He's the one who is preaching the truth and so on to his own people, but he is not detached from his people. He's right in the midst of the destruction that comes. And so he feels the affliction just like anybody else, even though it's not his fault. It's the people's fault who didn't listen to his preaching. He's pulled right into the mix of it and the midst of it. So his affliction with the Jews, it was personal. Aye, he says. Here's Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah. If you recall back there in chapter 1, the Lord calls him to this. And so he's the one individual the Lord is going to use here. And Jeremiah tries to sidestep this and get out of it. He says in 1:6, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. A youngster, a young man, no doubt. I can't be a preacher. I can't speak. I don't have any eloquence. Lord's not looking for that. Lord will give the words. He'll give the empowerment. Just be yourself. Just be yourself, Jeremiah. Just be faithful. And so then he promises, he tells them in verse 8, be not afraid of their faces. So here he's preaching the truth to a rowdy crowd that wants to kill him. Don't be afraid of their faces. That's a tough message. That's a tough situation. And then he says, I'll be with you and I'll deliver you. That's the last verse there. And so here Jeremiah is called to this. But his calling was a difficult one. But through all of this and all the difficulties he went through, the Lord took care of him and allowed him to come out on the other end. I think that we're going to read some of these here in a little bit. All right, then, but likewise, he was suffering because he's part of the fallen world with an old nature. And he was prefiguring the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the perfect one, but he's in the fallen world, and he had to die for the fallen world in a very cruel death as well. And so, since we all suffer to certain degrees, sometimes in pain and difficulty and all types of things or not, we can identify with the Lord because He identifies with us. He identifies with us. All right, and then, verse 2, He hath led me, brought me into darkness, but not into light. And so, here it was personal, it's positional. He's in the dark. He's in darkness. Now, this may be literally true, and I'll talk about this in a little bit here. And it was perpetual. Surely against me is he turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. There's no way I can get out of this. It is perpetual. Every day I wake up, what's going on? Same thing that went on yesterday, all kinds of suffering and difficulties. I go to bed, wake up the next day, what's going to be like? Same thing every day. And so his affliction with the Jews, because the Jews rebelled, it was personal, it was positional, and it was perpetual. Secondly, his affliction by Jehovah. He says, my flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. Well, who's the he? He's the Lord. The Lord's allowed this to happen to him physically. It was physical. So the word old there is bala. And notice in the English, it comes up late in the sentence, but it's really the first word in the Hebrew sentence. Old, you might say. He made me, my flesh and my skin, and so on. And so it was physical. Now, Jeremiah suffered in a pit. Let's notice verses 5 and 6. He hath builded me, he has builded against me and compassed me with gall and travail. He has set me in dark places as they that be dead of old. And so here, these, the words that are involved here that start off the sentence, be old in verse 4. Hath builded, the verb, verse 5. And in dark places is verse, in verse 6. These all start with the Beth. It's all of Beth. The B letter. All right, so now Jeremiah was placed in a dungeon. So let's look back here in Jeremiah chapter 38. We pick it up in 37, Jeremiah 37. And this is during the reign of Zedekiah. So Zedekiah was the last king of the southern kingdom. But in verse 16, 37:16, when Jeremiah was entered into the dungeon and into the cabins, and Jeremiah had remained there many days. So here he's in a dungeon. So it's a hole in the ground, and then there looked like there would be rooms there in the hole in the ground. So it'd be a dungeon, cabins. Then Zedekiah the king sent and took him out, and the king asked him secretly in his house and said, is there any word from the Lord? So notice he's imprisoned his prophet here, but he really wants to know secretly, any encouraging words for me? And Jeremiah said, there is, for he said, thou shalt be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon. So, are you glad you asked me? And sure enough, that came to pass. And then in verse 21, then Zedekiah the king commanded that they should commit Jeremiah into the court of the prison, and that they should give him daily a piece of bread out of the baker's street until the bread is in the city, the bread in the city were spent. Thus Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. So here he was in the dungeon. He was in the court. Apparently, dungeon may have been in the court. Fed a piece of bread on a regular basis. Later on, chapter 38. We have him still in the dungeon, verse 6. Then took they Jeremiah, cast him to the dungeon of Malchiah. So he's in that dungeon there. Verse 7, now when Ebed-Melech, which means servant of the king, the Ethiopian was one of the eunuchs, which was in the king's house, heard that they had put Jeremiah in the dungeon, the king then sitting in the gate of Benjamin. And so he comes to help, Ebed-Melech. So notice this low-life person in society. He was a servant. He was a eunuch. And yet he's the one that helps deliver Jeremiah. Verse 9, my lord and the king, these men have done evil in all that they have done to Jeremiah, the prophet, whom they have cast into a dungeon. And he is like to die for hunger in the place where he is, for there is no more bread in the city. And so this is his lot. His lot in being faithful to the Lord. That's what he's getting out of all this. So we can see his pain, his affliction. His affliction by Jehovah through the Jews and so on. And so, point two, it was not only physical, but it was painful. So verse five, he indicates, he hath builded against me, encompassed me with gall and travail. So gall would be a poison of some sort. And it was in places. So he was placed in the dungeon, as I mentioned there. He set me in dark places as they that be dead of old. So the dungeon there wouldn't necessarily have any light. Very little bread. He'd be placed there, having to stay there for some time. And so these are literal statements he's making about his situation and serving the Lord, his affliction by Jehovah. And then see his affliction through judgment 7 through 9. So he says, he hath hedged me about, that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. So it sounds like he's in a chain in the dungeon. And when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. He hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked. So the he here, of course, is the Lord all along there. And so the Lord was allowing this to happen. And so the Lord allows difficulties to happen to us and pain to come to us and so on. So he allows these things. And so Jeremiah is very much afflicted here by the Lord. So notice the word hedged is our next letter there. Gimel. And likewise, the same word shows up in verse 9 as enclosed. So hedge and enclosed, two different English words for the same Hebrew word. And then verse 8, also when. So the adverb there, when, is another word, a Gimel word there. So also when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayers, as if the Lord's not answering his prayers. He's in there day and night, in chains, in darkness, no food. Where's the answer to prayer? No answer to prayer are coming, it seems like. All right, so now with Jeremiah chapter 20, let's turn to this interesting chapter. Jeremiah chapter 20. So this relates, I think, so much to what he's saying here. In fact, in verse, turn there, but you look back here, Jeremiah. You look back here in Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 16. So there Jeremiah says, he hath also broken my teeth with gravel, stones. He hath covered me with ashes. So he's got, if he's literally, if he has broken teeth, it'd be hard for him to preach. Right? All right. So anyway, in chapter 20 of Jeremiah, we see the vicissitudes of Jeremiah in his believer's life. So, 20 verse 1, now Pashur, the son of Immer, the priest, who was also chief governor in the house of the Lord, heard that Jeremiah prophesied these things. And then Pashur smote Jeremiah the prophet and put him in the stocks that were in the high gate of Benjamin, which was by the house of the Lord. So here he smote him. Now, since Jeremiah indicates maybe his teeth were broken, maybe he got hit in the mouth there, or his face was put in the rocks and broke his teeth. But anyway, Jeremiah's going through the pains here. Verse 3, and it came to pass on the morrow that Pashur brought forth Jeremiah out of the stocks. Then said Jeremiah unto him, the Lord hath not called thy name Pashur, but Magar Misabib, which means fear all around. So he's got a new nickname. Pashur, you're the priest, and you're going to have fear all around. This word is translated later on in verse 10. If you look there in verse 10, "For I heard the defaming of many, fear on every side." So there's the translation of Magor Missabib, fear on every side. So it shows up again. Then verse 4, "For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will make thee a terror to thyself and to all thy friends, and they shall fall by the sword of their enemies, and thine eyes shall behold it, and I will give all Judah into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall carry them captive into Babylon, and shall slay them with the sword." So here's a strong message to Pashur. Verse 6, "And thou, Pashur, and all that dwell in thy house shall go into captivity, and thou shalt come to Babylon, and there shalt thou die, shalt be buried there, thou and all thy friends to whom thou hast prophesied lies." So here he gives a straightforward message. Bad things are going to happen to you, Pashur. Bad things are going to happen. Then in this, as we read through this, after he's been smitten, he's in the stocks, he cries out to the Lord. Now notice the strong language he uses. "O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed, and I am derision daily. Everyone mocketh me." So he was mocked by Pashur, smitten by Pashur and others. So here he's saying that the Lord deceived him. The Lord never deceived him. He said, "I'll be with you. Don't be afraid of them." So Lord never gave him some sort of a glorious outcome. But he sees it that way. See, that's strong language there. And "For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil." That was my message. "Because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily." So he was in derision. And so as he preached, he got more and more and more trouble. "Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name." All right, so he's resigning. But it's hard to resign when he's in stocks, mouth probably bleeding, facing death at any moment. I'm going to resign. I'll get out of all this. No, it doesn't work that way. "But his word was in my heart as a burning fire and shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay." In other words, he could not stay in that condition of resigning. "For I heard the defamation of many, fear on every side. Report, say they, and we will report it. And all my familiars watched for my halting, saying, peradventure he will be enticed, and we shall prevail against him, and we shall take our revenge on him." So he didn't have any friends. His family departed from him. All right. Then notice in verse 11, "But the Lord is with me." Well, the Lord said that all along. "As a mighty, terrible one." One who causes terror in others. That's the idea of terrible there. "Therefore my persecutors shall stumble, and they shall not prevail. They shall be greatly ashamed, for they shall not prosper. The everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten. But, O Lord of hosts, that triest the righteous and seest the reins and the heart, let me see thy vengeance on them, for unto thee have I opened my cause." All right, then verse 13, "Sing unto the Lord, praise ye the Lord, for he hath delivered the soul of the poor from the hand of evildoers." So here he has a song in his heart. You see, he's beaten up in stocks, complains to the Lord, "You've deceived me." Then he goes back to the Lord's with him, and he can sing to the Lord. But verse 13 is followed by 14. "Cursed be the day where I was born. Let not the day wherein my mother bare me be blessed." In other words, he goes through this. In other words, he doesn't like his lot in life, for sure. Now he can cry out to the Lord and sing praises to the Lord, but the next moment, "I'm in pain. I'm in difficulty. Lord, I don't like this situation. I wish I weren't born." So he sees he's up and down. Sing unto the Lord, that's verse 13. Verse 14, cursed be the day wherein I was born. It sounds like you read Job. Cursed be the man who brought tidings to my father, saying, a man child is born unto thee, making him very glad. And let the man be as the cities which the Lord overthrew and repented not, and let him hear the cry in the morning and the shouting at noontime. Because he slew me not from the womb, or that my mother might have been my grave, and my womb to be always great with me. Wherefore came I forth out of the womb to see labor and sorrow, that my days should be consumed with shame. So you see the difficulties he's going through. He's up and down in all this. He's thankful he has a Savior, thankful that he can trust in the Lord, but he doesn't like his situation at all. And he wants deliverance. And he's not going to get deliverance right away, but deliverance will come to him at some point. So as Jeremiah is going through Lamentations, you get a sense of what he's facing here. Now remember, he was a faithful prophet. But as he's at the edge of the end of his road here, he can complain to God. And he calls God a deceiver. And he's really pretty low here in his life. But he then can sing praise to the Lord. So here's the vicissitudes, the up and downs in the believer's life, especially when the believer goes through very difficult times. Good days, bad days, good hours, bad hours, back and forth, back and forth. And so here he's crying these things out. So in the first nine verses that were back here in Lamentations, the heartache of the prophet. This wasn't all allegory he's talking about. This wasn't all just poetry. He actually went through the difficulties here, and he's talking about them. And he indicates that the Lord has allowed all this to happen to me. Now, he didn't pull out the victim card saying, oh, the Babylonians. No, he's not the victim of the Babylonians, not the victim of anything. The Lord has allowed them to go through these things. And so he is very frank in all of this. Then not only the heartache, then we go to his humility. His humility in verses 10 through 18. So remember, we're working through units of three verses at a time. This is the way the outline seems to flow here, units of three. So the humility of the prophet, he was helpless, verses 10 through 12. He was unto me as a bear lying in wait, and as a lion in secret places. He hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He hath made me desolate. He hath bent his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow. So here again, he uses these references of his helplessness here. He was as a hunted animal. The Lord hunted him down and put him in prison. So now we're on the Daleth, or the D letter in the Hebrew alphabet, fourth letter in. So a bear, the word behind bear is Dov, D-O-V. And the word hath turned is Derek. And then another form of it is hath bent, Darak. All right, different spellings, but same words there. So he's helpless as being hunted, as being hauled. We're told that Judah, or gives a sense that Judah's been dismembered. And the Jews had been attacked as by a wild animal. Hosea brings that out as well in Hosea 13:8. And then as being hit. So he was hit by the Lord's arrow. So the Lord bent his bow, set me as a mark. And so the Lord, not like Saul. Remember, Saul tried to throw the javelin three times, missed every time. The Lord never misses that bow, right on target. And it hit him. And he recognized, this is all the Lord's doing. So the Lord had told me he'd be with me. He makes that statement. But he's in very, very difficult times and painful and everything else. That basically, He's in great humility, and he was in hurt, verses 13 to 15. He hath caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins. So he's in pain. He's in pain there. Hurt physically. So here, 13 through 15, the word hath caused to enter is a heavy, and he was hurt mentally. Next verse, I was in derision to all my people and their song all the day. Derision. So I was, the verb there starts with a hey, H, and he's hurt spiritually as well. He has filled me with bitterness, and he made me drunken with wormwood. So, hath filled is the next word that shows up first part of the sentence. All right, so in this, Lord allowed him to be hurt. And then finally he was hindered as well. 16 through 18. So here we have, he hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. So the idea of breaking teeth with gravel stones, sometimes, at least in ancient history, the enemy would come along, take a person back of their head, and just push their face into stones and gravel and try to break their teeth off. And so such a gruesome way. So if this has happened to him, of course, as I mentioned, he's the prophet. He has to preach. And he'd have to preach that way. If he had broken teeth, it'd be hard for him. But nevertheless, he was hindered, smitten. So some of these passages I already read about as well. Here he's smitten in the face, smote in the face there. Then in his soul, and has removed. So, verse 17, and that thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forgot prosperity. So, no, very little peace of prosperity in that cell that he was in. And then at 18, and I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. So his strength, he said, is perished from the Lord. So, he talks about his hope has perished. So that looks like the end of him, end of his hope. But we see in verse 21, as I mentioned, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. So did he have hope or did he not have hope? Well, he's back and forth. I have hope in the Lord. He's going to deliver me. I'm in great pain. I don't know if there's any hope for me. No, I have hope in the Lord. He's back and forth on this. And so here we see a believer here going through the difficulties of his calling. This is what he was called to. God called him to this and on purpose allowed these things to happen. And Jeremiah was faithful. And in the end, as I've indicated before there, in chapter 39, the Lord fulfilled his promise to Jeremiah. In 39:11, Jeremiah 39:11. So when this is all over, 39:11 says, now Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, gave charge concerning Jeremiah to Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard. So Nebuchadrezzar knew about Jeremiah, probably from Daniel. Remember Daniel and Jeremiah, or Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar were knew each other very well. And now Nebuchadrezzar says, look well to him. So you see, it did turn out well for Jeremiah through all of this. But he went through the most difficult time of his life as he obeyed the Lord. And he probably said many times, I'm not going to do this anymore. But the Lord didn't let him. The word of God was still burning in his heart. And so that's an extreme situation of a believer, wanting to do, willing to do the will of God, and going through extreme difficulties, yet he was faithful in the difficulties. And the only reason we have the book of Lamentations or the book of Jeremiah is because Jeremiah was faithful. We wouldn't have these scriptures if he weren't faithful. Now, there may have been some other Jeremiahs along the way that said, no, I'm not going to do this. But here's one who said he would do this. And he did do this. And so we can learn from his life and realize, you know, Lord loves us. He helps us. Even when we are complaining to him and so on, he still loves us. He's got a will for us. This is part of our humanity. We're not encouraging this, but this is part of our humanity, and the Lord recognizes the difficulties, and he can sympathize with our difficulties as well, because if anybody went through the worst of humanity, it'd be the Lord going to the cross, and he did that for us. So could we not go through the most difficult situations in our life in the will of God for him? And so we see a picture of Jeremiah as he pictures the Lord. So next time we'll talk about the hope of the prophet. Lengthy section here. He's got a lengthy section on his hope. Even though he said he didn't have any hope, now he does have hope. Our Father, we praise you, bless us, thank you for the time to open the Word of God, to study the life of Jeremiah and the Book of Lamentations, and thank thee that what you've done for him, and help him to be an example to us as we go through the challenges of life. Bless each one here. Bless our time of prayer now, we ask. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.